Welcome into Smooth Operators with your hosts, Noah, Griggs, and Ben, going through the world of Formula One.
If you want to interact with the show today, you can tweet at us at Noah_Phillips, at Junior_McClurkin, and at TheGriggsB. It's time for the green flag, and it's lights out, and away we go.
Did you miss me? I hope you did. Welcome back in, everybody, to Smooth Operators, Weagle's exclusive home for Formula One coverage. I am Griggs Blankenberg. Alongside me, as always, is Mr. Ben McClurkin. And we are without our fearless leader, Noah, today. We hope your dad is doing better from his hip surgery. Prayers up for him. We'll be praying for that. But for Ben,
sure. Yeah,
I'm back, finally. It feels like it's been like weeks.
It has been literal weeks. It's been 3 weeks since you've been on the show, and it is. It's good to have you back. I know you had other commitments, and Griggs, as always, works harder than the devil himself, but, gotta say, you timed it up perfectly, because we have a little bit of a race on our hands, don't we?
We do. We have the Australian Grand Prix this week.
Oh, yeah.
I picked some good weeks where there wasn't really much racing touche going on.
That's true.
But now we're back. And Ben, our preview's on the second half of the show, but
yes,
we have to start with the breaking news that happened last night. It's about Williams.
And yeah.
Logan Sargeant, the American driver from Florida, he forfeits his Australian GP start as the chassis is now headed to Alex Albon. This is from Nate Saunders from ESPN from Melbourne, Australia. American's Logan Sargeant will take no part in the Australian Grand Prix after Williams sacrificed his chassis for teammate Alex Albon, who damaged his own Beyond pair on Friday. This controversial call followed Albon's heavy crash in opening practice. Albon walked away unhurt. His car suffered extensive damage, including the chassis. Williams later confirmed it did not bring a spare to Melbourne, which is probably the right call. You don't want to have to, especially if that goes under the cost cap at all. You don't want to bring an extra chassis all the way across multiple oceans.
I completely disagree.
Ooh, really?
Apparently, according to Karun Chandok, Williams had no spare chassis in Bahrain or Jeddah. They don't have a spare chassis. They are so far behind that they do not have more than one chassis ready to go per driver. And they almost showed up to Bahrain with their old spec car because they didn't have any spare parts.
Whoa. Yeah. I did not know that part.
Yeah. So, immense amounts of pressure on the drivers, not to Bennett. Obviously, Albon did during practice and had quite a heavy crash. I must say, he did look like, or that car did look like it was in bad shape. And the chassis is not what you'd think of a traditional car chassis. So F1 cars are monocoque, meaning they are of one construction in the chassis. So everything from where the front suspension starts to where the drivetrain ends is, or where the drivetrain begins, is one piece, and then the engine is bolted directly onto the back of the chassis, and then the engine mounts also house the suspension mounts. So it's like a bathtub, basically, with wheels bolted onto it, if you want to think about it that way. So what makes this especially difficult is that everything is in one piece, so you have to ship large pieces of the car around. And the problem with that is, obviously, yes, you do account for shipping costs in that, but shipping costs are separate from the cost cap that Williams is under, and also they are underspending most teams. The problem is that they don't have it ready. It's not made. There's not a second chassis, or there's not a third or fourth chassis available at all. So, yeah, I haven't seen anything like this in my time as an F1 fan live, but it has happened on several occasions in the past. In Belgium, 1998, heavy rain, several drivers went back and gotten the spare car. But to my memory, I can't think of any instance in which a driver just completely gives up his car. And it's happened before, I'm sure, in days long past. But
yes.
In recent history, I mean, this is kind of unprecedented.
I mean, what does that really say? I mean, does that more say more on Logan or the team? Where Logan?
It's the team.
Yeah, that is true. But like,
for sure,
they go to him and be like, Or did he just do this out of the kindness of his own heart? I imagine it's the team
asking. I imagine it's a bit of both. There's probably some team pressure because Albon stands a better chance at scoring points here. And I think Logan's aware of that. So I think it's both Logan being a good teammate and William saying, come on, give us the car. I don't think he actually is obligated to.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There might be clauses in the contract or something that I don't know of. But as far as I'm aware, there's nothing that says that he has to give the car up. But he did.
I mean, he did pretty good super the first strange. Two practices. I mean, yeah, for him, 14th in FP1 and 13th in FP2.
Yeah.
So to give that up, I mean, this is a contract year for him. It's a contract year for almost every driver, it seems like. But to do that, I mean, is that just showing like
that's showing
trying to
that
show you can be at number two?
Yeah, that's showing that he's a good, reliable teammate. And I admire that and respect that. I don't know. That's a tough place to be if I'm Logan Sargeant.
Especially if you're in that position where things happen in front of you a little bit, that 13-14 realm, you could score points.
Yeah. Yeah. He's on the edge of points. And Australia last year had a record 3 red flags and there was a ton of chaos. And if you survive the race, you stand a good chance of getting points. And during practice, I noticed a few things too. That area where Albon crashed, Alonso nearly did too. This is after they've updated the circuit. So last year they updated the circuit. This year they did as well, which makes turn 6 and 7, I believe, a pretty tricky section. And there were some concerns addressed over the curbing that I think they did touch on, but I don't know if it was enough. And the margins on street circuits, like
it's razor thin,
like Albert Park, it are very, very small.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like they did kind of drop it into like a actual park.
Yeah, and I love that circuit. It's one of the better street circuits.
Yes, agreed.
There's good spots to pass. You know, it doesn't feel like you're driving around a parking lot. The scenery's beautiful. And also, I got to say, compliments to F1 for shooting FP1 and FP2 the way that they did. You could actually get a real perspective of the speed for once. In tracks like Bahrain and Jeddah, you don't really because of how much space there is. And even though Jeddah is a street circuit, the cameras aren't really that close to the cars because it's been set up for media. But not really set up for media. But, you know, media was a consideration when they designed the track. Albert Park is a driver's track in a lot of ways. And it's a very challenging circuit. So it's good to see that speed and that perception of speed actually being aided by how close the cameras are. So that aside, you know, lots to look forward to for sure.
Yeah, and especially with Williams, they're still looking for a point. They're one of 4 teams who've not scored yet. Williams kicks Sauber, Honda, Visa Cash App,
V-Carb,
Racing Bulls, and Alpine, who's still at the bottom.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have a chance for points this week.
And they are the closest of the non-point scoring teams.
I would agree.
Since Albon got 11th.
I would agree, especially with, again, Albon is the number one driver on that team.
Clearly.
So, I mean, it's obviously them. It's also a desperation move. I think they're like, okay, we need points now. Like, they saw the performance of the car in FE1 and FE2 with Logan in it. They're like, okay, imagine what happens if...
Yeah.
But if Albon goes out there...
Albon was a few places behind Sargeant, too, in FP1.
But if Albon throws a stinker in there, how mad do you think Sargeant's going to be?
Pretty mad. I would imagine Albon getting crashed out in the race or in qualifying.
Oh, yeah. If he gets crashed out in the race in qualifying, they don't run any cars.
No. There's nothing. If they damage
the
top...
A team did not run any cars in a Grand Prix.
Alpine last year didn't run any cars for the entire Grand Prix. They had 2 non-finishers. They did double DNF.
I know, like, talking about like not even start the race.
Oh.
It's got to be years.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's maybe never. I don't know. Look that up. To the extent of my knowledge, never. But... Also, I don't know. So, you have to go before pre-qualifying. So they have to be eligible to enter the race, and not.
I'm trying to look.
Yeah, because
trying to find the right Google search to say it as.
Yeah, the pre-qualifying teams would be like there would probably be so many. We need a statistics person to give us little slips of paper like that.
We do. I don't know. It's not showing up anything.
Let me look.
But Ben could probably look and find that a little bit easier. But yeah, no, that would be crazy if that happened.
Yeah, it would.
But yeah, no, Australia just, it is a good, I enjoy watching Australia. It will be a good race, I hope. It's always one of the ones that I like better because I'd rather watch it late at night than early in the morning.
Yeah.
1,000% rather just stay up than wake up to watch a race like that. But no, who knows? I mean, I think it's going to be an exciting race. We're going to talk about more in the next segment or a little bit down the road. But I mean, here and there, I mean, I think this will be a good race. I hope Logan needs some good karma after this from the team, yeah. Then, especially after being selfless like that. So good on Logan. Good for showing the American charm a little bit right there. But yeah, but that is going to do it for our first segment. When we come back, we're going to talk more about stuff going on in the world of Formula One, including Lewis Hamilton going after the FIA and some news about Zach Brown at McLaren. So do not go anywhere. Segment of the show is coming right up. You're listening to Smooth Operators on Weagle 91.1 FM.
Welcome back into the Smooth Operators, and we have just discussed some of the things leading up to the Australian Grand Prix, not counting for preview, but Griggs, we do have some more news from outside of the paddock. What have you got for us?
Did not mute my mic. Well, Ben, we do have to discuss Lewis Hamilton kind of going after the FIA a little bit, about mainly the Red Bull situation. Did you see any of that?
Actually, I haven't. Fill me in.
You have not. Oh, boy. Well, this is really bad journalism on my part. I have the Northwestern game on my computer. But let's go look.
No, he doesn't.
No, I don't. I'm kidding. Let's go into looking at it a little bit more about Lewis Hamilton and the FIA as I pull up the article now. From, I believe this was ESPN.com.
Hmm. If you could provide me with some background information,
there we go.
I'm sure I could have an opinion.
There we go. Oh, I got it. Boom, 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 boom. This is great journalism, everybody. Seven-time champion Lewis Hamilton has said it is becoming increasingly difficult for fans to trust Formula One's governing body, the FIA, adding that its president, Mohammed bin Salem, has never had his support. His comments follow several weeks of scandal and controversy in F1, which was escalated further on Wednesday when Susie Wolf, the head of all the all-female racing series F1 Academy, revealed she had filed a criminal complaint against the FIA.
Okay, yes, I did see this. I saw the Susie Wolf announcement, which is a little bit insane to me, honestly. If you remember, the FIA did an investigation into the Wolves. Mm-hmm. Susie Wolf and her husband, Toto Wolf, obviously are married. Susie Wolf gets information from the FIA that Toto Wolf may or may not have access to, and vice versa. And there's no real way to tell what information gets shared between the FIA and FOM. Between the two of them, mm-hmm. And that's not supposed to be happening. So the FIA did an investigation, came back with nothing, and now Susie Wolf is suing them, basically, but in a much more serious way after filing a criminal complaint. Which, I mean, okay, to be fair, the reasoning behind the FIA investigating, I'd say, is justified. Lewis Hamilton's obviously going to take the side of Toto Wolff, his longtime friend and team principal.
Not for much longer.
Yeah, not for much longer, team principal, but I think they'll always be friends. Toto seems like a pretty good guy. Lewis is, you know, a nice guy as well. But regardless, filing a criminal complaint for launching an investigation into something that has grounds to be suspicious is not necessarily a fair response. And now you're making the FIA deal with you after they pay you, you know, to run this and to run this league. It's not a good look. It's you're suing your boss who has just given you your own company to run.
Yeah, but That stuff that happened this summer was pretty crazy. The offseason controversies in F1 this year have been already insane. It's only March.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, Lewis does have a point. I mean, they need more transparency, I think, in Formula 1. He also kind of talked about a little bit about Christian Horner's thing. We're talking about how it being a male-dominated sport.
Okay.
And where it's still living in time with the messages from, if you file a complaint, you'll be fired, which I get how he can see that narrative, but still, it's Lewis talking about Red Bull, I think, will never, like, truly stick.
No, it won't. I'm tuning that out, honestly. I'm not a Red Bull fan, but I think this is more politicking than it is actually expressing opinions. And I don't know. I'm kind of tired of the politicking in F1. You know, it's interesting if you're a fan of the drama and all of this stuff, but I'm really just here for the racing and the engineering. So the constant string of controversies, allegations, and cloak and dagger type stuff that's been going on against management,
mm-hmm.
has really kind of worn out its welcome with me. I'm not really a fan anymore of accusations or any kind of false allegations or true allegations. I mean,
no allegations.
Yeah, if these people are doing something that's genuinely criminal, you know.
Yeah.
Let the law process that and not the organization. I'm tired of the FIA being a governing body of law and order. Can they go back to being a governing body of motorsport? They interfere too much, and it's just like what is Lewis Hamilton going to accomplish by saying that?
I don't know. Cause people listen to him more than any other driver, though.
Yeah, so. They do. But what is any of the drivers having any opinion on anything going to accomplish in the political world other than their own contracts?
I mean, that's true. I mean, he still has. I guess he just kind of wants to see kind of his. He wants to help his people and like make sure like other people are accountable. Again, it's Lewis talking about Red Bull.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't.
This isn't about Red Bull. That's the thing.
That's the thing about it. But then he threw in it there at the.
Yeah.
Sorry, he threw that in at the end.
He's talking about Red Bull without talking about Red Bull, and it's exhausting.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
All right. We can move on.
Sorry, that's just my thoughts on it. We can talk about it. I just.
Oh yeah, I know.
The constant, and again, if Christian Horner was doing something inappropriate, then that should be investigated by professional investigators, not a motorsport governing body. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's good for business that he stays there. And I agree with Lewis on that. You know, I think there should be accountability. If you speak out against something, you shouldn't, the conclusion shouldn't be you get fired. But why is it his place to talk about that?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I don't know. I'm rambling on a tangent. I just don't see how he's going to affect any meaningful change from his words on this topic. And he's had an opinion on it since the beginning. There have been several statements. And, you know, I'm not trying to tear down Lewis Hamilton. I like Lewis Hamilton, and I agree with what he's saying. It's just he's there to drive.
I mean, that's true. But yeah, let's move on a little bit. And now we're talking about Zach Brown at McLaren. Zach Brown to remain the CEO of McLaren Racing till 2030 after he extended his contract until 2030. Zach Brown's contract in McLaren was talked about some in the Drive to Survive series this past season. I've not watched all of it yet. So far, it's been pretty good. But now he joined the team in 2016 as an executive director, took on the role of CEO in April 2018, and he will now be the CEO. If you had told me this same time last year,
yeah,
after Australia, I would have been like, there's no way he sticks around.
I don't know. He does such a good job of hiring the right people. That's what I've seen since 2016. 2017 was a disaster, but after that, they started trending upwards. And
I think after the whole Daniel thing, it got a little bit rougher.
Yeah, and they still have some hiccups, you know. The
Daniel year,
they were, I think, a solid 8th or 7th in the constructors. And Daniel Ricciardo had a rough year in a car that wasn't suited to him. So, yeah, I mean, you can chalk that up as a bad year, but it's nothing like what they had from 2013, 2014 to 2017. They have made miles of improvement in a relatively short amount of time. You know, 8 years is a reasonable enough time to turn around an F1 team.
2016 was 8 years ago. My word, that was weird to say.
That was a really good year.
It was.
That was a great year for me.
Great year for me as well.
But yeah, there was just so much going wrong. They had Fernando Alonso, who was retiring every other race, saying the car drove like a dog and had a GP2 engine. That's where that meme comes from. Mm-hmm. Back when GP2 was F2, but GP2 is a lot closer to F1 in terms of performance than F2 ever will be. Anyway, that aside, I think it's really a huge improvement that they've made. And I think Zach Brown deserved to keep his contract. And I said that last year at the start when they were miserable.
Yeah, they were miserable.
They were. They'll turn it around. I said that. I did not say that they would finish fourth in the constructors. I had no expectation of that. I thought maybe sixth place would be the best they could do.
Probably the best midseason upgrade package we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah. Legitimately made a huge jump on their competitors over the course of one to two upgrade packages and finished where Aston Martin couldn't, because Aston Martin couldn't continue that development. And, you know, Aston Martin's changing facilities and preparing for a new engine manufacturer in 2026. So, you know, lots going on there. But McLaren improved when Aston Martin didn't. And I think that's a really big deal and a good sign of Zach Brown's leadership as the CEO of McLaren Motorsport, and putting the right people in charge to mitigate for those scenarios.
He's been a great hire for them.
Yeah, he has.
Especially after kind of all the stuff they've been through in the past 20 years with what, like Crashgate and all that.
Yeah, Crashgate. Yeah, it's Spygate.
A lot of gates.
Crashgate was Renault, but Alonso was involved in that. That was 2011. But yeah, you had Crashgate, which didn't involve Zach Brown, but involved Alonso. Then you had Spygate. Spygate was much worse. Somebody sent McLaren all of the Ferrari technical data, which was absurd.
Was that 100 million?
It's the largest find ever in sports. I think it was maybe 100 million, 120 million, something along those lines. But they paid for that. And, you know, I'm surprised there wasn't any sporting penalties, as in like a disqualification or anything like that. But, you know, it's a lot of money. Largest fine ever. But yeah, I mean, McLaren had several down years after the fact. And yeah, Zach Brown's been a good hire for them, for sure. For sure. A lot of waffling we've been doing today.
I mean, we talked about, again, we don't have Noah's funny quips and stuff to keep us going sometimes.
Yeah.
Missing Noah. And then also me running the board's always interesting time. But we have another 2 minutes. We can talk about one more thing real quick.
Okay.
Vettel back at the wheel.
Yeah.
For Porsche Penske at Le Mans test. So he's now getting back behind the wheel to test the Porsche Penske.
Penske. Penske.
I knew I saw that name. I knew
you
I
said them both
name.
Wrong. Porsche Penske.
Porsche Penske.
Penske like the trucks. Porsche like the German.
The Porsche
company.
Penske Le Mans hypercar in Spain next week.
That's exciting.
Is Le Mans next week? Or just tests?
No, the Le Mans test is next week. I think Le Mans is April 4th, if I'm not mistaken. Fact check me on that. You're the man with the information. I am just a guy who sits here and says opinions on things that don't really.
But you know more about opinions than I know about opinions, though.
That's fair. I know enough wheel.
You do know enough wheel.
I know an adequate wheel.
That is true. But I think
good to see Seb back in the car for sure.
That is true. But yes, it is time to go to our next commercial break. When we come back, we'll have our preview of the Australian Grand Prix. We'll give you the track layout, and then later on the show, we're going to give you our picks and previews for the race. The second half of the show is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Smooth Operators on Wheel 91.1 FM.
We're back again, coming to you live from the Bradley Basin Studio on Wiggle 91.1 FM. I'm Ben McClurkin. Joined with me is Griggs, and we have a race for you. We sure do.
It is a race preview episode.
Indeed.
What we do best.
And dear listener, we are really excited because though it be raining here, the sun is shining in Melbourne.
I come from a land down under.
Thanks, Griggs.
Just thinking about the walkout song for Wolkanowski. But
it's a great song.
It is a great song.
But yes, Albert Park. Griggs, give us a rundown.
Yes, the Formula One Rolex Australian Grand Prix 2024 happens this week. And let me get you the time real quickly, since we do have a little bit of a difference. Our time here in the Central Time Zone will be the race will be on Saturday at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. Qualifying will be midnight on Saturday. So, got a lot of racing going on Saturday. But now, to the track. We're talking about Albert Park. First Grand Prix was held here back in 1996. 58 laps, 5.278 kilometers per lap, with a total race distance of 306 kilometers, 0.124 kilometers. And the lap record was held broken last year by Sergio Perez, 1 minute 20 seconds, 0.235. This track has 14 turns. Count it, 4 DRS zones, 2 in the first, 1 in the second, and 2 in the third sector. So, Ben, Albert Park.
Yes. What a great track. Challenging, tight, lots of trees and scenery. A great place to watch a race if you ever get the chance. There's never really a bad spot on the track to sit. I haven't gone, but I'm sure it would be nice. Right now, the weather is good, but, you know, a lake can generate weather at any time. But, yes, small margins. That chicane, turn one and two, is a very tricky spot, cause of lots of problems last year. source of two of the three red flags during the Grand Prix, both of those coming on restarts. 6 and 7 is a tricky section as well. Very, very, very close to the wall. Carlos Sainz during free practice one running as close as 7 centimeters away from the wall. 2 DRS zones?
4.
4? Whoa.
We have one from turn 14 to 1, one from 2 to 3, one from in the middle of 8 to 9, and then one from 10 to 11.
Yes. Okay. So, really, though, truly, 2 relevant DRS zones. The turn 14 to 1 is...
It, like, cuts off for, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's very, very short. And 8 to 9 is another pretty short one. And I don't know. Let me pull up a layout of the track, because I used to have it memorized, but, you know.
Yeah, no, this track is very, very interesting. I mean, last year, this was one of the max ones, right?
Yes. No.
Wait, no, yes. No. Checo won Saudi Arabia and then Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is another max win last year. This is where, I mean, last year's race, I'm trying to think of what happened during it, but no, I remember.
3 red flags.
I think I watched this one with you, Ben.
Yes.
This is good. Yeah, no, the 3 red flags. I was at your place till like 3 that morning.
You
this
were.
One lasted that long. But no, I remember this race. It was a good, especially with the amount of stops that it had, it ended up being a really, really, really good race.
Yeah, it was a pretty good race. The turn 3 and 4 switchback chicane, and then that fast corner at 5 as you go around the lake. Turn 6 is basically a gear up since they added the changes. 7 and 8 shoots you down a long, winding, somewhat straight area. But then you have 9 and 10, medium braking zone. And then on down to Vettel and Weber at turn 11. Mm-hmm. Another great spot. But they have widened that quite a bit, too. I think you can go a gear up there. Turn 12 is really fast. 13, 14 is somewhat slower. And then, yeah, 14 is super slow, if I remember correctly. 13 and 14, you are hard on the brakes. And then you are back on the straight to start your lap again. Yeah, so a few overtaking points here. One and two, not really, but turns three and four, you can see some people send it into there. It's good to be patient and wait to get to turn six, and then seven and eight, you can take advantage of that DRS, go around the outside, go around the inside, either or. Nine and ten, another good spot to send it up the inside. But yeah, it is a very, very short circuit. You know, lap times during practice two were as low as 1:17 by Leclerc. I think it was a 1:17.
That break the race record by like 3 seconds.
Yeah, but they were doing.
I can't talk today. 3 seconds.
They were doing qualifying runs, so yeah. Not exactly a fair representation. They have made the track faster, so the lap records will be updated accordingly. I'm just trying to think of stuff to look out for. There does seem to be a high chance of a crash this weekend.
The weather looks good.
The weather does look good.
67 degrees Fahrenheit, 19 degrees Celsius, no participation, precipitation, partly cloudy. Man, I can't talk today.
That's okay. Allergies. English is hard.
Partly cloudy, but at the race. So, I mean, we should be in for a non-weather-affecting race. So,
yeah.
Looking forward to that one.
Which is really exciting to see. I have a feeling that there's going to be some chaos.
That'd be nice. I like chaos.
And there's also a crosswind that I've heard about. There's a breeze blowing across the track, which could disrupt some of the more aerodynamically sensitive cars. I'm trying to think of other things to look out for. I think it's going to be a really good race. If Max Verstappen qualifies out of position, you can expect him to run through the field. If he doesn't qualify out of position, I think you can also expect him to run through the field as he laps them. And I'm getting tired of saying Max Verstappen, but
I mean, something else you can say.
Nothing else you can say. There's nothing else we can do. I'm just looking at the amenities, though. This track looks really nice to go to.
I want to visit Australia. That looks like a great track race to visit.
There's great public access. Lots of good points to view the race from. If you can manage to get out into the lake, that would be.
I remember I did decent on this track in the F1 video game. Just some of the. I think the turn from 9 to 10 always kind of messed me up coming off of DRS. Insane kind of like that. 12 to 14.
Yes,
I remember that. That was tough. But then, all I can think about is like this. This was the last race where I think Max Verstappen retired, back in 2022.
That was the one that Leclerc won.
That is true. Yeah. So has Max not had a retiree since this race? I don't think he has.
Oh my goodness!
So that'd be a season and what, two extra races?
That's ridiculous.
That is crazy. I mean, he scored points in every race last year. He didn't have a DNF. Is in these, I think, what, two or three races now away from tying his own record.
Wow.
Of most consecutive race wins. I mean, just the things he's been able to do in that car and the car that's been given to him has been absolutely outstanding. I mean, I got nothing else to say with that. Just to have that sustained success and to just keep it, and especially in the era we're in now with the cost cap. I mean, we've seen Mercedes since the cost cap got introduced. They've not been able to really do anything.
I know. And it's because they can't spend around it. I am just looking at some of the entertainment they have on offer. Empire of the Sun will be doing a DJ set. One of the most famous DJs of the 2010s, or DJ groups of the 2010s. Multi-platinum pair of DJs, famous for Walking on a Dream. You remember that song?
Oh my gosh, that's that band?
Yeah, that's
Walking
that band.
On a Dream. Yeah, love that song.
Some of the most famous Aussie musicians. Whew. The F2 race is 11:35 local time, which would be. Let me do some math.
It's a pretty nifty time change.
Yeah, I think it's like. Okay, so it's 3 hours before. 8 p.m. local time here in the United States. Is that right?
I think so. I don't know. We need Noah. I need Noah's quips and stuff to get us through some of these segments.
Seriously. And if you're a fan of Aussie Supercars, they're doing a race there as well. Live stream that appropriately. But yeah, Albert Park is a beautiful circuit. You know, last year I think we had 8 retirees. It was something absurd like that. Maybe there was 6.
Let me check real quick. I have that pulled up.
There was indeed an Alpine.
We had 8 DNFs.
Yeah, 8 retirees, an Alpine double DNF.
That is correct, I think. Yeah, Ocon and Gasly.
Gasly,
yep.
They crashed into one another, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
That was a crazy thing. And then
that was a very ham aloe race.
Yeah, it was. That was really crazy to see because Alonso survived getting through all of that chaos on lap 1.
And even though they had all the DNS that race, I mean, the red flags, I mean, it makes sense. But I think that was Max's lowest margin of victory all season. He only won by 0.179 seconds.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was a very close race. Hopefully we can get something similar to that degree of entertainment. But, you know, it's Grand Prix racing. Anything can happen.
Yes, it can. Well, I think we're going to head to break just a little bit early. When we come back, we got our picks and previews for this race weekend. So do not go anywhere. Last segment of the show is coming up next. You're listening to Smooth Operators on Weagle 91.1 FM.
And we're back again for the final segment of the Smooth Operators podcast. It's Griggs, and it's Australia.
It's Australia. So now it is time for our race picks and our race preview a little bit. So Ben, as we always do, who's getting pole position?
Pole position this weekend goes to Max Verstappen.
Ooh. I'm going to pick for both myself and Noah, I believe. I'm going to go with Charles Leclerc.
Okay.
It's time for him to get a pole position again and then do a Leclerc and then not win the race.
The pole to win ratio.
Yes, it's time for that. But that I do think that's going to happen. I mean, he's due eventually to get one. So I think this will be the race that it comes. Yes. All right, Ben.
Yes.
Let's do a normal, just say normal. I'm trying to look you want to do this. Let's do a normal prediction, something that you think has a good chance of happening.
Okay. A good chance of happening.
Not too crazy.
One 3-second plus pit stop for Mercedes.
Ooh, I like
very
it.
Very specific.
It's spicy.
Not really.
Eh. I mean, depending on how they do it, I mean, this is a track that you switch tires, what, twice? Maybe 3?
Yeah.
But it's a pretty good prediction. Let's go an Aussie in the top 8.
Okay. So, Daniel Ricciardo.
I said an Aussie. I didn't say which Aussie.
Valtteri Bottas.
I saw that. That was wild. This is my normal prediction. I'm covering all the bases. Don't you worry, Ben. All right, Ben.
Yes.
Your crazy wild prediction.
My crazy wild prediction. I'm going to say Logan Sargeant to finish P10.
That would be something, all right, after he's already given up his car.
I'm just kidding.
That'd definitely be something.
Yeah, that's still so bad. That I don't know. I think Albon should have to live with that. But anyway, let me have a nice little double points finish for Aston Martin.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy, but not too crazy.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, I'm going to go crazy. Give me a Daniel Ricciardo top 10.
Whoa.
in the Visa Cash App Racing Bull. Give me it. I want it.
Let's see it.
And I'll try to think of what Noah would say.
You know what he would say.
For the crazy prediction?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what he would say. I don't know. What do you think he'd say? This is great radio.
Let me speak. Dead air! Let me speak for Noah. Noah would say, I don't know. You know what? Let Noah speak for himself. Call him.
That is true. We'll let Noah speak for himself.
Noah, you can post that on Twitter if you do feel so inclined.
All right. Our final. Ben, what's your podium for this weekend?
Charles Leclerc, P3.
Ooh.
Lando Norris, P2.
Ooh.
Max Verstappen, P1.
Wow. Crazy one. We've already had two Rebel 1-2s.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with this. Charles Leclerc, P3. Oscar Piastri, P2. Max Verstappen, P1.
Whoa.
Switching up just a little bit. Just a different kind of orange.
Okay.
One of the different oranges.
There's something Instead of Lando, in the orange me, about...
Lando, give me that man. Oscar Piastri. That'd be kind of crazy. And then Noah would go, someone, Max, Charles. Pretty good. I think that's
All
a
right.
good. I think that's a good what Noah would do.
That's fair.
All right. Whoa. We finished way early today. But
well,
Ben, it was one of those shows. We didn't have too much, but
we still have a lot to look forward to, and I'm sure that there will be a lot to come back to.
There will be, indeed. But yeah, that is going to do it for today's episode of Smooth Operators. If you missed any of today's show, you check it out on your favorite podcast platform later on today. But we'll be back here, same time, same place next week, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. And for Ben McClurkin, Noah Phillips, I'm Grace Blankenberg. This has been Smooth Operators on Weagle 91.1 FM. We thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a great rest of your weekend. And War Damn Eagle.
That's all we have today for Smooth Operators, Weagle's exclusive F1 show. In case you missed some of the show or just want to relive all your favorite parts, check us out on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Till next time, this has been the smoothest operators of Weagle 91.1 FM.